Well, if you would remain standing and open your Bibles with me. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This morning, we'll be in verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Hear the words of Jesus to us this morning. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Let's pray this morning. Almighty God, we ask that you would help us in these moments to hear you. Would you open our hearts? Would you speak to us and move among us and change us as we consider these words from you? Would you change us because we've been in contact with you this morning through your word? We ask that you would always mold us and change us and make us more like Jesus each and every time we come in contact with you and your word. And Father, we are thankful that you do indeed speak to us in this way, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I've been alive long enough now to realize that everyone thinks they're right in how they do just about everything they do in life. For the most part. Just about everything you do, you think you're doing it correctly. Because that's the reason you're doing it in that way. It's the way you think that it should be done, even if there are other ways to be doing it. And then what I've learned is we also become very good at seeing how everyone else is doing it wrong. And we know this to be true because we have the right way. This extends to various areas of our life. On a low level, a not important level, at my own house, we've had discussions about how we do certain tasks differently. We've had discussions about making breakfast, for example, and which ingredients you're supposed to add first to the bowl before other ones, and everybody has a different way. I think there's six of us in our house and probably four different ways that or three different ways that maybe someone would make the same dish. And for fun, we've had discussions and we've made the case why we are correct in the way that we are doing that certain task of making breakfast. And while my family doesn't want to admit that I'm right, I am. Because I'm right. That's the way I do it. And they just can't see it yet. They'll come around one day. Now, conversations like that are fun. To point out some differences that we have. But that same type idea of going around and judging the way that things are done as being right or wrong, or condemning people when they don't do things in the way that you see is right, or they're in sin and you can see it and you just condemn them. This seeing everything and knowing that we're right can go horribly wrong in that way. It can lead to what we call judgmentalism. It can lead us to a way of walking in this life where all that we do is condemn everyone around us. Be quick to point out how they're terribly wrong and how we are right in everything. In the church, it can lead to legalism and self-righteousness. We can be quick to point out everyone else's sin while we ignore our own sin. This is what Jesus confronts in this passage. He's confronting judgmentalism. He's confronting putting ourselves in God's place. He's confronting the trap that we often fall into, where we walk around being judgmental of everyone around us. He not only confronts it, he teaches us a better way to live. He teaches us the right way to think about judgment. Well, here's what I want us to consider today as the main point, the main idea of this text. The main thing we should be learning is this: Christians are not to be judgmental, but to be helpful to one another. All right, Christians are not to be judgmental, but to be helpful to one another. And we're gonna walk through this and see where I get to that as the main point. Jesus gives us three sets of instructions here. And as we look at those three sets of instructions, we get to this condemnation of judgmentalness and then being led towards helpfulness. He first tells us, don't be judgmental. Don't be a judge. Secondly, he tells us, and the way that we are to be helpful is to attend to our own personal sin. And then lastly, in verse 6, it seems to not fit, but it does. We are called to be discerning. And each of these speak about how we are to judge the world or see the world around us. And as we walk through those, I think we're going to see what Jesus is calling us to. So let's hop in. Don't be judgmental. That's the first point that we get. It's very, very straightforward here as we start chapter 7. This is, I think, one of the most well-known passages in the New Testament. I think the most well-known is John 3:16, and then after that, there's a group of passages that many, many people know. This is one of them. It's also the passage, or one of the passages, that gets used incorrectly, or it gets misunderstood very often. You've probably heard it used incorrectly when people have said things like this: don't judge me. Jesus says not to judge. You don't have the right to judge if I'm doing right or wrong. Maybe even people who are not Christians to say, you can't tell me my belief is wrong because Jesus says you're not allowed to judge. All of those things have been said. Maybe you've even used them before when you have been doing something wrong or sinful and someone has pointed it out and you say, don't judge me. And in those moments, when we misuse this passage, what we're trying to do, what the world is trying to do, when they point to God's Word, even if they're not believers, what they're trying to do is to deflect any correction away from themselves by attempting to say that Jesus says you are never allowed to judge another person. But the question we should ask is this: does Jesus actually say that we can never judge? No, that's not what this passage means. It can't mean that in context of these six verses. It also doesn't fit into the context with the rest of the New Testament. Because there are several times throughout the New Testament where Jesus tells us, and the New Testament authors tell us, that we need to make a judgment. We need to determine if something is right or wrong. We need to judge between good and bad. We need to be able to identify, judge between righteous and sinful and false and true teaching. We're called to make these judgment calls. But here Jesus says, judge not. So it has to mean something different. We'll get to that. Let me give you a few examples in the New Testament where we see Jesus telling his people that we have to judge between good and bad, or sinful and not. And in this very discourse, he tells us that. If we just look across the page in the other column of my Bible, in verse 15, he tells us how to judge if someone is a false prophet by the fruit that they produce. That's a judgment. Later in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 18, Jesus lays out the steps and the procedures on how we are to go about confronting someone when they are in sin. We are judging at that point if they're participating in sin or not. That requires a judgment. 1 John 4:1 tells us to test spirits and to make a judgment to see if they are from God. Paul writes to Galatians in chapter 2, verse 11 and forward, that he opposed Peter because he judged that Peter was wrong. The list goes on. 1 Corinthians 5, remove people from the church when they're sinners. We have to make a judgment that they're sinning. So, how do those passages fit in with what Jesus says here? Well, we have to look at this passage in light of its context in the six verses and in the greater New Testament and Old Testament even contexts. It seems pretty clear that Jesus is not talking about all judgments. In fact, Jesus himself judged the Pharisees. And I think in this passage, he's doing the same thing again. He's been pointing out the Pharisaical issues and problems, the way they misunderstood the law, and here he appears to also be attacking the way in which they are interpreting and applying the law, trying to make sure everyone around them is doing the right thing, all the while they're doing it wrong. But Jesus has the right to do that because he's the great judge. This passage should help us to see that we are not to stand in Jesus' place. So let's hop into verse 1. Let's look at these words. Judge not that you will not be judged. These words could be understood in a couple of different ways. The way many people understand this, because they've never read it in context, or they don't like Christians maybe, or they're trying to get out of sin, whatever it may be, they would say something like this: Jesus is saying that you can never make a judgment about what I am doing or what someone else is doing. That's obviously what it does not mean, because the rest of Scripture tells us there are places we are to actually judge if someone is doing right or wrong. So it can't mean that. What could it mean? Well, in context, I think the better way to understand this, the right way to understand this, is that Jesus is pointing towards and condemning a judgmental attitude. And the context of these verses will help us to see that. He's speaking about the attitude of someone who indiscriminately goes around pointing out all the sins of others, who can tell you exactly what you're doing wrong and can condemn you for doing it, all the while not addressing their own sin. Sounds a lot like the Pharisees. The Pharisees were very good about going around and telling people the way in which they are supposed to live, all the while not understanding the law or addressing the sins in their own lives. Maybe it sounds familiar, not because you've read about Jesus interacting with the Pharisees. Maybe it sounds familiar because this is the life you live as well. I think if we're honest, we all have a little bit, or maybe a lot of this in us. We find it very easy to look around and go, gosh, what an idiot. They're doing it all wrong. Well, can't do business or be friends with them, or stay away from them at church. They're terrible. Maybe we have that judgmental spirit in ourselves, and so this feels familiar to us. I searched around trying to figure out a way to put to words what Jesus is talking about here. And everyone that I read spoke of it the same way that I understood it, but used various ways of explaining it. And I finally found one that I feel like is very succinct and clear. One commentator, one theologian writes this: Jesus prohibits a critical spirit, but does not forbid all use of the critical faculty. That is exactly what is going on here. Jesus is talking about our critical spirit, but at no point does he tell us that we are never to make judgments. To help us understand this, we can just quickly move down to verse 2. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What Jesus is doing is reminding us, his hearers and us today, that everybody will be judged. Every single person will face judgment, and Jesus is warning us not to judge like God will judge sinners. As He sits on His throne of judgment, don't judge as if you are Lord over everyone. Because if you do that, that's the same judgment you're going to get one day. You see, the implications of this is a Christian is one who does not act as if he is God or she is God. A Christian is one who is not judgmental because we understand the grace that God has given to us through the work of Jesus. We understand that, yes, God deserves to pour His full wrath out on us, and He does indeed see every small sin and mistake that we make, and yet He pours His grace out upon us. Jesus is saying, when you walk around judging everyone like the Pharisees did, like we are so prone to doing, what you are doing is acting as if you are God yourself and you don't understand grace. And that means that one day you are going to be judged in that very same way. Brothers and sisters, if you know you are a critical person, if you know that it is easy for you to walk around and judge everyone all the time, if you know you are one who sees a mistake someone makes in a sin and you are quick to cancel them and deem them as wrong and point it out to them, you need to repent of that sin. You need to repent of that because Jesus has given us much grace. He has extended so much grace to you and I, and then we need to then extend that same grace to other people. I'm not saying that we ignore sin. We're going to get to that in a moment. But don't go around being judgmental because you can see everybody's flaws. I'm pretty sure that they can see most of them too. Now to help us understand this even more clearly, don't judge, because if you walk around acting like God, one day you're going to be judged by God Himself. He gets to verse 3 and He gives us a parable to help us understand what He's talking about, what this would look like on a daily basis. And He tells us the story of two people. They're brothers. They're closely related. They're not people who don't know one another. They know each other well. And one of those brothers has a little speck in his eye. We've all been there. If you haven't, kids, one day you're going to get something in your eye, an eyelash or something. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard to get out. It's going to be hard to see when you're 2 inches from the mirror trying to get it out and pour saline in it. The other has got a log, a stick, sticking out of his eye. Now, imagine that for a moment. It's comical. It's comical to imagine someone walking around with a log sticking out of their eye. Because it's ridiculous. No one does that. No one would walk around with a stick poking out of their eye. But in this parable, that person, the one that's got this gigantic thing in his eye, rushes over to make sure that his brother knows that he has a speck of dust in his eye. The whole time, he doesn't see the log. It's meant to be comical. It's ridiculous. No person can walk around with a log in his eye like that and accurately see a speck in someone else's eye, and he is surely not qualified to remove it. I don't know if any of you have had surgery, but if you have surgery, you want your surgeon to have two good eyes. All right? You want two good eyes, two good hands. You know, maybe shake their hand, make sure they're not, you know, shaking a whole lot. This is what we want. The idea here is this person with the log is not one, can't see accurately, and two, not qualified to take it out. And Jesus is saying this is exactly the kind of thing someone that is judgmental with a critical spirit would do. They are quick to go around pointing out everybody else's faults and sins to make sure that they're living the right way. Think about what the Pharisees did. They're quick to discount, to silence, to cancel, to deem someone not a Christian because of that little speck. The whole while, they miss their own sin, glaring sin, right in front of them. in their eye. This very action that Jesus is telling us to avoid is celebrated in our country. It's celebrated. I won't speak about other countries. I can't speak to them. I assume that they struggle with a similar thing because, I mean, Jesus didn't live in America. He didn't walk around Texas. He didn't live in our current day. It was some 2,000 years ago. But I know that this same problem still exists. And I know it still exists because I see it. I see it all the time on social media. When I listen to 24-hour news cycles, if I'm trying to find something on a story, whatever it may be, and I catch glimpses of it, I hear it. Very quick to point out everybody else's problems. The whole while they never see their own judgmental spirit as sin. It's all around us, brothers and sisters. And one of the things I fear about the church, because I can see it happening in my own life very easily as well, I fear it for me. And if I fear it for me, I definitely fear it for all of us, that we are being discipled to be just like that. I'm afraid that if we're not careful, we'll end up being these people that Jesus is telling us not to be because we are being discipled by the wrong people and the wrong things. So be very careful. Let me warn you about the way that you consume news and social media. Be careful about the people that you follow and listen to. If that person is only known to be critical of others, and they are known for making definite judgments about others all the time, and they are never willing to admit their own sin, you should run away. Because they have a gigantic log. Be wary of people like that. They might be the people that Jesus is referring to. What happens more often than not with people who are very critical, people who are very judgmental, who are very quick to walk around and point out every little problem while never addressing their own, will use passages throughout Scripture, some of them I've already referenced, where it's clear that Christians are supposed to make judgment calls about sin, judgment calls about what's good and holy. And they will use that as a justification to do the very thing that Jesus condemns. Brothers and sisters, we must be very careful to not cross the line into judgmentalism or to be critical in our spirit. We must also be very careful not to hold this in the wrong light and never make judgments about what is good and what is bad. We have to walk a fine line and trust and ask that God would help us to do that. Because this passage does not mean that we never criticize or we never judge or we never point out other people's sin and what they are doing and how what they're doing is wrong. That is not what this passage is telling us. This passage is referring to our own spirit and attitude of judgmentalness. In fact, we know that if we just look on. We get to the second point that Jesus makes, the second teaching. And He calls us to attend to our own personal sin. If we look down at verse 5, we find that there is a way to judge. There is a way to help a brother with the speck in his eye and point it out. And the way to that is to first get the log out of our own eye. Look what Jesus says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Instead of hypocritically pointing out everyone else's sin and shortcomings and judging them and condemning them, we should first work to remove all of our own sin and shortcomings, to see that log and to pull it out, to ask that God would remove it. And then, once our sight is restored, to be able to help others take the specks out of their eyes, to help them see their own sin. But Jesus is telling us if we are not actively repenting of our own sin, if we're not actively taking those logs out of our eyes and asking for God's help, we are no use of helping someone else with a speck in their eye. Brothers and sisters, before we go around judging everyone and their actions, ask the Lord to help you. Take care of the sin in your own life. Ask that God would remove it. Repent. This text is not calling us to be perfect. This text is calling us to repentance, taking that log out. And then once it's out and we've repented of our own sin, to walk alongside others who have specks in their eyes and help them. You know what Jesus is modeling for us here? The pattern of discipleship. That's what he's telling us to do. To allow others to come alongside us and say, brother or sister, there's a speck in your eye. There's an area of sin. Let me help you. Jesus is telling us that we are to walk along others in the church and in our families and say, hey, I see that speck. It's got to be painful. Let me help you. Let me help you with that. We should strive in repentance and then also help others in repentance as well. Now, let me note the context to you again, because I think this is important. The context here is doing this with brothers or those who are close, brothers and sisters, those that we love, those who have been redeemed by Jesus. Those are the ones that we are to help. And when we do that, what we are doing is realizing that we are not the ultimate judge over everyone. But we've submitted ourselves to that judge. We've asked for that log to be removed. We repented, and now we're going about helping God's people. So let me ask you two questions. One, do you need to repent of being judgmental? And if you do, then repent. Two, what other logs do you maybe have in your eye that need to be removed? Have you considered your own life? Have you considered the sin that you might struggle with? Have you considered that you need to repent? Go about doing that. Repent of your sin. And then once you have gone down this path of sanctification, of repentance, go and help others. Be helpful. That's what Jesus is telling us. Don't be judgmental, but be helpful. Don't just be critical, but help one another along in sanctification. And then he tells us one last thing, that we are to be discerning. It's funny, he says, don't judge. You hypocrite, take that out of your eye, help someone. And now he's turning around and saying, but also I need you to judge. Don't be judgmental, but you do have to make some judgment calls. Jesus is telling us to be discerning about how we go about doing this type of action. Particularly, I think, as we deal with people who are not part of the church, but maybe even with some people who are in the church and the way that they act. We have to be careful about how we go about this. Look what Jesus says. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. I'm a dog lover. I'll admit it. I love dogs. They're great. They're like the best pet ever. Those of you that disagree with me, you're wrong. Again, I mean, I can see clearly and you can't. I'm just kidding. Not everyone likes dogs. I do. That's fine if you don't. The way Jesus speaks about dogs here, I'm like, have you been around a dog? But he's using it in context. It's a context that we don't fully understand, because we don't use these terms of dogs and pigs in the way that they were used in his day. The Pharisees and other Jews who were very devout would have used these terms as an insult to the Gentiles. They called Gentiles dogs and pigs. All right. And the insult is, well, one, I don't know if y'all have ever been around pigs. They're dirty. They smell bad. They roll around in mud. They just make a mess of everything. And they are unholy under the law. They're not supposed to be eaten. So all of this, all of this various things in their culture they stayed away from and they didn't like. It was seen as a Gentile thing, all right? So they would use it for that. Now the dogs, often they would refer to dogs that were wild and running free, and they were not very friendly. And it appears to be that if you tried to feed them and they didn't like it, they would turn and attack you. Like this is what a wild animal would do. What Jesus is referring to here is to not give what is holy, not give maybe good advice of helping someone with their sin, or maybe even some people think, and I think there's something to this, giving the gospel to someone that's going to just treat the gospel like pigs and dogs treat the things around them. Tear it up to bite back to you. You see, Jesus is telling us not to be judgmental, but he's also telling us there are times when we are going to have to make a judgment call on how we are going to deal with people who are hostile towards the gospel and the gospel's corrections. I think the simplest explanation is that Jesus is telling us there are people who will attack you, who will trample you as they reject the gospel, what is holy. And you need to be discerning. We, all of us, Jesus is saying, need to be discerning so that we might make a judgment on when to give, when to tell someone the gospel, and when to not. That's not something you hear people say very often. I think this is how we apply that. One, as I said, dogs and pigs were pejorative phrases used in reference to the Gentiles. But I think Jesus is using those more generally here. He's not telling people, don't go preach the gospel to Gentiles. We see that all throughout the New Testament. We see even Jesus interacting with those who are Gentiles and unclean. I don't think that's what he means by this. I think he's saying that there's a time. There'll be a time. More generally, when there's people who are unholy, who are not believers, that you are going to not want to throw the gospel in front of them anymore. Because they just trample it. There are going to be people that are going to be so hostile. They're going to be constantly under attack that there will be times when it is wise not to give them that again. I don't think that means we pre-decide who that is that we share the gospel with. That's not the pattern that we see Jesus present elsewhere, but he is telling us here that we are going to have to make a judgment. There are times when someone is so hostile towards the gospel, it will be time to stop throwing or giving what is holy to them because they will just destroy it. They will trample under it. And what he's telling us here, the reason I think this is here is he says, don't be judgmental, but you're going to have to make judgments. And there's a difference between those two. Making judgments between when to present something and when not, judgment on sin and not sin, those are things we're all going to have to do. This text is calling us not to be judgmental. And that's very difficult, brothers and sisters. And I submit to you that you cannot do it on your own. If you decide right now that you're not going to go through this world being judgmental any longer, you're going to throw that behind you, and you do that in and of your own power, you will fail. You will fail. So, turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord and ask that He would help you. That He would help all of us. Pray for yourself. Pray on behalf of this church that He would help us to not be judgmental. But submit ourselves to Him. Ask that He would take the logs out of our eyes and that He would give us the boldness and the courage to walk alongside our brothers and sisters and help them with the specks in their eyes. And ask that He would help you, that He would give you the humbleness, the humility to have someone come along beside you and say, brother, sister, I love you. I see this thing in your life. Let me help you take that out. Let's turn to Jesus. Let me help you in this repentance and this sanctification. This is what Jesus is calling us to. So as we close today, strive in prayer and trust in God not to be judgmental. But don't give up making the judgments that God has called us to do. Let's pray. Father, we need you. We can't do this on our own. This is an impossible task that Jesus is calling us to without your intervention and without your help. But we ask that you would take the log of judgmentalism, the log of a critical spirit out of our eyes. Would you help us to see your people in the way that you see your people as sinners who have been redeemed? And then would you help us to take help from others and to give help to others once we have repented, to help them also in their repentance? Father, we ask that you would do this work among us here at GRBC. We ask that you would do that work among not just the church here, but the church across our area, across our city, across our state, our country, and around the world. Would you mold your people into the image of Jesus? And would you help us to be known as not people who are critical and judgmental, but who are people who submit ourselves to you and love one another as we help each other in our sin? Father, we need your help. We need you to do this mighty work, and we trust that you can do it. And in Christ's name, we ask that you would. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing our last song this morning. 135.